Tuesday, August the 27th, 2024. Welcome back. For the Numbers, presented by FTNFantasy.com. My name is Adam. We're just over a week away from the start of the season. It's crazy. I am so excited and glad to have everybody listening again this week. Fun weekend of fantasy drafts, hopefully. If you had your drafts, your team is off to a great start. But today we're going to revisit some of my favorite sleepers. Look, as large of a draft weekend this past weekend was, this upcoming weekend might be even more massive for fantasy drafts. So, if you're still preparing for your draft, go to FTNFantasy.com. Use that promo code FTN15 to get yourself 15% off. That gets you access to the Advanced Stats Hub, Jeff Ratcliffe's Game Plan Draft Guide, the Almanac, projections, tools, cheat sheets, rankings, Discord, everything you can think of to help you get ready for that so important fantasy football draft. It's here. I have two more drafts next week. So I kind of have the week off for drafts, but even better, more time for content, research, articles, podcasts, all live at FTNFantasy.com. The podcast, of course, also brought to you by Circa. With the return of football, we also have the return of the largest pro football contest in Vegas. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions, now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes with two ways to win and zero rake. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread, lasts as long as to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make five picks against the spread each week with your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. Enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. Visit circasports.com for the details. So yeah, again, today we'll revisit some of my favorite sleepers. Crunch time, everybody wants the sleepers. So we'll revisit maybe some players I added, you know, since the last time. I think the last time we did a sleepers episode was like over a month ago, so perfect time to revisit that. But before we get into that, there's news. I mean, we have today, teams have to get down to 53 players on the rosters. We have players officially landing on the PUP list, which puts them out for at least the first 4 weeks. Now, let's start there because I don't think anything is too surprising, right? Chubb, Jonathan Brooks, TJ Hockenson, all on the PUP list. They will miss at least the first 4 weeks of the season. Again, no surprises there at all. The only one that's like even remotely somewhat surprising is Jonathan Brooks, only because the initial report was like he could be good to go for week three, but Panthers playing it smart with the second round rookie. So yeah, with Chubb and Brooks missing the first four games of the season, that definitely makes Chuba Hubbard and Jerome Ford some of the best zero RB candidates in fantasy. Like if you completely punt the early round running backs, yeah, Chuba Hubbard last season following Carolina's week seven bye, he became the clear lead player in this backfield, averaged 16.7 rushing attempts, 2.4 receptions, and about just over 12 PPR points per game. But also remember, that was in Carolina's just dreadful bottom of the barrel offense. And with Dave Canales, we've already seen in the preseason, this unit looks a lot better. So Chuba Hubbard, somebody you can probably start as a low-end running back two, decent flex for some of those weeks where Jonathan Brooks is out. And I fully anticipate Jonathan Brooks being maybe even in like the Rashad White role that we saw in Canales' offense at Tampa Bay last season by like week seven, week eight. Fully anticipate that happening. And then in Cleveland, Jerome Ford, he will, you know, he was really good in terms of pass catching, had a lot of receiving touchdowns. His rushing efficiency was a little bit inconsistent, but what's stopping him from getting 15, 18 touches per game behind a good offensive line? So both Hubbard and Ford, really, really good zero RB candidates going forward. And then Hockenson, no surprise here that he was going to start on the PUP list. It really doesn't do much for Minnesota because you're not drafting or starting any tight end from the Vikings. We know Jefferson is entrenched as an elite wide receiver. The only question now is like, what's going on with Jordan Addison? Will he be suspended? Because if that's the case, like this team has nothing after Jefferson. So like probably see a lot of receptions from Aaron Jones as well. But Hockenson once he's back, he's probably going to be a top three tight end in fantasy. So when he falls in drafts, like, I love taking him. Absolutely love it. We had a lot of news out of Denver on Monday as well. The team is going to try to trade Tim Patrick, and if they can't find a trade partner, they will release him. A couple teams that stand out, Detroit, they're kind of looking for something more consistent. They released Donovan Peoples-Jones, so I could see him going to Detroit or Pittsburgh. So I'd keep an eye on those two places. But potentially the more important news, Ian Rappaport reported that the Broncos are expected to move on from veteran running back Samaje Perine, and they've also been involved in a number of trade conversations. So this is huge. I've talked all offseason about Jaleel McLaughlin as one of my favorite sleeper candidates at the running back position. And the main obstacle is not Javonte Williams, it's Samaje Perine. And after that first preseason game for the Broncos, I'll admit I was a little bit worried about McLaughlin because Perine was back in that same role he was last season as a clear third down running back behind Javonte and playing the 2-minute snaps. Then the second preseason game, Jaleel got most of the work behind Javonte, and I was like, okay, feeling a little bit better. And now this report, I just don't think enough people realize how awesome and how fantasy friendly that role was from Samaje Perine last season. According to the Advanced Stats Hub at FTN, Samaje Perine, 25 receptions in the 2-minute drill, led all running backs. He was also top 8 in third down receptions. He played like 90% of the 2-minute drill snaps, like almost 70% of the long down and distance snaps. On a team that is probably going to be chasing points plenty of times this season. And we know with Sean Payton, this team's going to target the running back at a top 5 rate in the NFL. Last season, both Javonte Williams at 12.2% and Samaje Perine at 11.8% were top 15 among running backs in target share. Overall, as a team, the Broncos targeted running backs 31.4% of the time. Just so much to like here. Last season, Russell Wilson in the same scheme, top 5 in screen pass dropback rate. Jaleel McLaughlin, as an undrafted rookie, came in and was 8th among all running backs in screen receptions with 18. Massive PPR upside here for Jaleel McLaughlin. So the only worry now is, like, where does Perine go that can impact fantasy? Does he go back to Cincinnati? Does he go to Dallas? Because he'll be on a team. So we'll see what team that is and how much of an impact it has. But right now, it's wheels up for Jaleel McLaughlin and Javonte Williams. Like, I know Javonte Williams isn't going to play an insane amount of the passing downs, but he's going to see so many targets on first and second down, too, because he's in that same scheme. And I'm excited about him one more year off the serious injury. I think that had a lot to do with his struggles last season. So Javonte's somebody I've definitely been warming up to as well. Seems to always be news out of San Francisco. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that left tackle Trent Williams will not report to the team until his contract is adjusted. This is massive. I know the Brandon Ayuk deal has gotten more headlines because fantasy football, and obviously you don't draft offensive linemen in fantasy football, but if you take Trent Williams away from this offensive line, they might be the worst unit in the NFL. They're definitely bottom 5. Like, they are really, really not good after Trent Williams. He's the best left tackle in the league. He impacts everything. His ability to get out in space and pull in the outside zone runs, and of course in pass protection for Brock Purdy. Like, this offense will still be good because of the scheme and the players they have, but they will not be. Like last season, for instance, they were first in offensive DVOA. They will not be first without Trent Williams if he misses time. So yeah, like, if they don't have him, I'm moving Brock Purdy down. 100%. Like, I would probably move him below Trevor Lawrence and Caleb Williams. I have him ahead of those guys right now. I would switch that if they don't have Trent Williams. they are really, really not good on the offensive line after Trent Williams. So that's something I'm definitely watching over the next week or so. And finally, Dalvin Cook visiting the Dallas Cowboys. I don't have anything here. I mean, other than the fact that it wouldn't be the most ideal for Dowdle and Zeke. Like, Dalvin was obviously with the Jets last season. Like, it was only a matter of time before, like, he was just not playing over Breece. But, like, the Cowboys don't have a young talent like Breece Hall. So, I'm not putting it past the Cowboys to give Dalvin Cook some opportunities over Zeke or Dowdle if he ends up signing there. So, but the main news, of course, CeeDee Lamb finally gets the extension. I believe he's, like, the second highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL. So, I was in a league, a draft on Saturday where he fell to like six because of the contract concerns. So that obviously looks fantastic, but you have drafts coming up. CeeDee Lamb, feel free to take him honestly as early as first overall. Eight first read targets per game last season, according to FTN's stats hub, most in the NFL. Nobody else is there. Massive target season coming once again for CeeDee Lamb. All right, let's get to some of my favorite sleepers for the 2024 fantasy football season. Drafts coming up. You want to know who the sleepers are. Let's start at quarterback, Bryce Young. He's looked good in the preseason, looked good against the Bills. Granted, it was like all of their backups, but I still believe in Bryce Young. I still believe in Dave Canales. I love what they've done, bringing in Deontay Johnson, Xavier Leggett, Jonathan Brooks once he's there, upgrading the interior offensive line with Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt at guard. And again, like I just struggle to believe that he's as bad as he was last season. It's still the player that went first overall in the NFL draft. We've seen a handful of rookie quarterbacks, especially, you know, top overall picks, not exactly produce in year one. Not saying Bryce Young is going to be Peyton Manning. I'm not saying he's even going to be Trevor Lawrence, but Frank Reich, the chaos of that offense, they were so discombobulated. The skill position players were bad. Last season, Bryce Young, according to FTN data, just nobody was getting open. That's a problem for a rookie quarterback, especially when the offensive line's also bad. Just 1.62 yards of separation per pass attempt, two wide receivers and tight ends last season, bottom five rate in the NFL. He also only averaged 2.7 yards after the catch per pass attempt. That was outside the top five quarterbacks. And according to the Stats Hub, he was 20th in the NFL in completions where a receiver had 3+ yards of separation. Just 20th. So Deontay Johnson helps that. The overall scheme will be more friendly. When he's healthy, he has a really good pass-catching running back in Jonathan Brooks. I like Bryce Young this season. I'm not saying he's going to be a top 12 fantasy quarterback and somebody you're starting each week, but definitely like him. Like, for me, with a lot of my builds in a super flex format, if I have like a top 5 selection and I get one of the elite quarterbacks in fantasy, I'm okay passing on quarterback for a little bit, loading up on receivers and running backs, and having somebody like Bryce Young as my second quarterback. Now, it's not the same case if my first quarterback's like Dak Prescott, Jared Goff, somebody that's not in the top 5 range, but still good. But if I have one of the elite guys that can get me 25 fantasy points per game, I'm okay with Bryce Young as my second quarterback in a super flex format. Also, quickly, Matthew Stafford, I've talked about a lot. I also just don't think people realize just how good this offense was when they were fully healthy. When they had everybody healthy, they averaged 28.5 points per game. Only San Francisco was better in terms of offensive DVOA. So Stafford, yes, he's not going to give you the rushing production, but he was playing at an elite level last season. And to have talent all over the field, I like Stafford quite a bit as well. Let's move on to the running back position, where I have Ty Chandler on here. And this is kind of tough for me because I do love Aaron Jones. And I still think even approaching age 30, Aaron Jones is one of the most efficient players in the NFL. But at the same time, he is approaching age 30. And he did have multiple hamstring issues last season that kept him sidelined. The reason I like Ty Chandler, though, isn't because I'm low on Aaron Jones necessarily. It's because A, there is that risk of him missing time because of the age. B, throughout his entire career, he's pretty much shared with somebody anyway. Now, of course, this is a different team, different regime, all that stuff. But he's kind of lived in that 14 to 17 touch per game range. I think over the past 4 seasons, he's averaging just over 16 touches per game. So it's not crazy to think that Ty Chandler might have like some small standalone value. And especially like if they don't have Addison and Hockenson to start the season, it's Jefferson and the running backs, and that is it. And Chandler was kind of productive last season when he got opportunities. I think he's also a really good, not somebody who would start week one, but obviously has contingent upside if Aaron Jones misses any time. But I also at the same time think there's like some chance of some standalone value. Kind of in like a role we saw from somebody like Zach Charbonnet last season in Seattle, where he like, I think Charbonnet in the games where Walker was active averaged like 8 touches per game. So, I like Ty Chandler. Honestly, I also like Charbonnet, if you want to stay there. I know it's a new offense, and Ken Walker's been getting all of the hype. This could easily be wrong if Walker is getting the third down work, but that was all Charbonnet last season as a rookie. He played 82% of the snaps in the two-minute drill. That was the 6th highest rate in the NFL. So, if we see Seattle with Ryan Grubb throw the football more and Charbonnet is still the pass-catching running back in this offense, that would definitely lean towards him a little bit. And as explosive and talented as Ken Walker is, he definitely hasn't had the greatest pass production track record between college and the NFL level. Not saying he can't do it. He just has hardly been asked to do it, especially in college. So, but I don't mind Charbonnet. McLaughlin, who I already talked about, he would be on this list for sure. Draft Julio McLaughlin, especially in full PPR leagues. Already talked about him a lot, but just make sure you draft him. Legitimately one of my favorite players to draft, and the Samaje Perine news only solidifies that. Talking about some young running backs, but let's go to a veteran. And this should surprise nobody, but one of my favorite players in the NFL, Devin Singletary. I understand nobody's excited to draft him, and the Giants offense is not one we love to target, but he's good at football. He just is. And if the Giants offensive line can go from bottom of the barrel to like even slightly below league average, that's a win for me. We saw what he did last season. Granted, better situation in Houston, but essentially took Damian Pierce's job last season in week 9. From then on, he played 69% of the snaps, handled nearly 70% of the rushing attempts, averaged over 19 touches per game. He was the RB13 in fantasy during that span. And he's obviously familiar with Brian Daboll last season when he was with Daboll. Not last season, but the last season he was with Daboll in Buffalo in 2021. He had 228 touches. And that was in an offense that had way more talent than the Giants. Like, I like Singletary. I think he's going to be a really good value on draft day. I don't think Tyrann Tracy's stealing his job. I think Tracy could take him off the field on some third downs for sure. But this is Singletary's backfield. And I think he's being overlooked because the Giants stink and Singletary's been around for a while, but every time he's gotten opportunities, he's been good. So, simple as that. Super, super underrated is Devin Singletary. We will get to the wide receivers and tight ends coming up next on the podcast, but have to take a break for a moment. But you have drafts coming up. Do not go anywhere because we have some of the top wide receiver and tight end sleepers in fantasy for 2024 coming up next. Be right back. All All right, everybody, welcome back to the top sleepers for fantasy football for 2024 here on the podcast presented by FTN Fantasy. My name is Adam. Let's get to the wide receivers. A ton of awesome players that I've been really, really warming up to as the offseason goes on. And the first one for me, DeMarcus Robinson, wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams. Very, very, very quietly, he was productive down the stretch last season. Like, all of the headlines for the Rams, especially in fantasy, will go to Puka and Kyren Williams. But DeMarcus Robinson came on the scene, broke out as the wide receiver 3 for the Rams down the stretch last season, passed Tutu Atwell in the depth chart. From week 14 on last season, Robinson ran a route on 88% of dropbacks, had a 17% target share, which like doesn't sound like a massive rate, but when you consider the fact that he was playing alongside Kupp and Puka and Kyren, that's pretty damn good. He averaged 16 PPR fantasy points per game during that stretch, and like, yes, he won't do that for the entire season, obviously. But you have the fact that there's actually some contingent upside here because Puka was kind of banged up going into the NFL, has missed a lot of practice time and training camp this season. And then Cooper Kupp's obviously 31 years old, and he's had multiple injuries the past couple of seasons too. During that stretch from week 14 on, Kupp missed week 18, but other than that, all of these guys played together, and Robinson was still second in the entire NFL with 7 end zone targets, and he's going to be on the field a ton. Rams run 3 wide receiver sets 90%+ of the time. It's one of the highest rates in the NFL. That's not changing. He'll probably have some weeks where he produces for you, but there's also some serious contingent upside here. So I love drafting DeMarcus Robinson towards the end of best ball drafts. In 12-team home leagues, you probably don't even have to draft him. So somebody you can like, say you draft Jonathan Brooks or Chubb or Hockenson, and then you have a spot where you can place somebody on IR. Bam. Roster spots open. You can pick up DeMarcus Robinson and see what happens. Josh Palmer, I've talked about a lot too. I think he's going to end up being the wide receiver 1 on the Chargers by the end of the season. And if you told me that the wide receiver 1 catching passes from Justin Herbert was being drafted outside the top 50 wide receivers, you would say it's an immense value. Averaging 12 PPR points per game over the past 2 seasons in games where either Mike Williams or Keenan Allen have been sidelined, that would have been good for a top 40 wide receiver last season, yet he's being drafted well outside the top 50. I know Ladd McConkey's there, but right now, outside of a few passes to Quentin Johnston, like Josh Palmer is really the only wide receiver on this team that's consistently caught passes from Justin Herbert. And whether it was strictly last season or over the past couple seasons, most of the time he's gotten opportunities with one of those 2 wide receivers out, he's produced. And obviously, Allen's gone, Eckler's gone, Williams is gone, Gerald Everett's gone. So I love Josh Palmer, one of my favorite wide receivers to draft in fantasy this season. Elsewhere at wide receiver, some of the rookies I like, Jermaine Burton, Jalen McMillan continues to impress for Tampa Bay. I think McMillan's definitely locked in as that wide receiver 3 for that team. Still waiting to see on Burton, but he's made plays. And it's Cincinnati, also a team like the Rams, that's going to run 3 wide sets 90%+ of the time, which means if Burton gets that role, he's going to be on the field a ton. Now, what will the target share consistently look like? Playing alongside T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, probably not insane, right? But there's still upside there for sure. I like Burton. I like a lot of those rookie wide receivers. Then you have, you know, choose your favorite Buffalo receiver. I'm still kind of uncertain because we haven't really seen what this offense will look like when they are in 2 tight end sets, which I expect the Bills to be in 30%+ of the time. And Curtis Samuel right now with the turf toe. Keon Coleman played a ton in the preseason, but like, why wouldn't he? You have to see what he looks like. If Shakir can play in two wide sets, he's going to be awesome. He emerged last season from week 11 into the playoffs. He averaged 11 PPR points per game. He fits this Joe Brady offense that wants more yards after the catch. He had a 32% target per out run rate with Stephon Diggs off the field last season. He was third among qualified wide receivers in yards after the catch per reception at 7.3. Every time he's gotten opportunities for the Bills, he's produced. And I don't expect that to change this season. It just comes down to who's on the field consistently when the Buffalo Bills are in 12 personnel, which I do expect them to be in 12 personnel, probably at a top 10 rate in the NFL at the very least, but could easily be top 5. That wouldn't shock me at all. Anyone else at wide receiver that I like? Depending on, like, I love A.D. Mitchell, but obviously I think if Josh Downs is healthy, Downs probably is getting more targets than him. So that's kind of a bit of a wait and see. You can make the case for Michael Wilson or Greg Dortch, especially with Zay Jones now suspended, I think, what, 5 games? Dortch has been getting a lot of hype out of Arizona, so I could see that one. Jalen Polk, I think there's easily a chance by the end of the season he has the most targets for the Patriots. I think that's just about it, though. Romeo Doubs, I've talked about him being overlooked in fantasy. And you can also have Dontavian Wicks on this list. It's just like, I don't think Watson's coming off the field when he's healthy. And I don't think Doubs is coming off the field either. But at the same time, and I talked about it on the episode I did last week where I talked about players that could break out in the second half of the season. If Dontavian Wicks keeps playing like he did last season, how do you not have him on the field? And then, of course, Jayden Reed is talented and was good last season, and he's the guy that Matt LaFleur schemes a lot of the touches to. But Jordan Love's been talking very highly of Romeo Doubs. He's the consistent wide receiver on this team. And even in the weeks 4 through 11 where Christian Watson was healthy, Romeo Doubs is still top 10 in the entire NFL in end zone targets. So Jordan Love trusts him down by the goal line. While everybody's talking about Reed and Watson and Wicks, Romeo Doubs could end up being the best value on draft day pretty easily. But I like the idea of drafting any of those guys. Not Reed. I think Reed's just going too high. I've been pretty vocal about that. But Watson, Doubs, Wicks, love drafting those guys. All right, let's close out with tight end. Juwan Johnson's back for the Saints. This is a team that they can get a little bit weird at the goal line, we know, with Taysom Hill, who I guess also kind of fits this sleeper tight end list because he's tight end eligible. But Juwan Johnson, who on this team gets end zone targets? Chris Olave doesn't. Rashid Shaheed doesn't unless they're coming from like 20 plus yards down the field. Is it going to be A.T. Perry? I don't think so. Like, Juwan Johnson could easily lead this team in end zone targets. You score a touchdown in a given week at tight end, you're probably a top 12 tight end in fantasy. That's just how it goes. Noah Fant, I've talked about. I just think getting him out of Shane Waldron's system is huge because he can actually, run routes. Past couple seasons with Shane Waldron, he's been essentially splitting time right down the middle with Will Disley and Colby Parkinson. But A, both those players are gone. They have nothing behind Fant. And he's in a new scheme where he'll be able to run routes and be used down the field. He don't love the fact that he has to compete with those receivers for targets, but he can make the most on 4 or 5 targets per game because he's going to get downfield usage. He's good after the catch. And again, most importantly, the thing I always talk about with tight ends, especially late round sleeper tight ends, I'm looking for routes and or somebody that can be second on the team in targets. Now, Fant will not be second on this team in targets, but uptick in routes for a talented player that can do a lot with a little. Yeah, I'm intrigued. Also, the same thing with Jonnu Smith. Like, when Miami signed him, it was perfect. Like, he's a perfect fit for their offense. They gave him in preseason the other day, he was in motion and they handed it off to him on like a jet sweep. And he can do that. He's one of the most athletic tight ends in the NFL. On a yards after the catch per reception basis, he's been up there every season. And this team, like, as good as Tyreek and as good as Waddle are, they need a third player to step up in the passing game. I know Odell's there, he's banged up, but like, it could easily be Jonnu Smith. And again, like, it's not somebody you have to draft outside of best ball formats. But we want pieces of this offense. The fit with the offense is just, like I said, absolutely perfect. I still believe in the talent. I think he's a perfect fit. Over the past three seasons, Jonnu Smith, third, fourth, and first among tight ends in yards after the catch per reception, averaging 5.2 yards after the catch per reception during that span. So, he's definitely have some weeks, especially with all the pre-snap motion, all the attention that Waddle and Tyreek Hill put on defenses. If you're giving Jonnu Smith open space, that's when he's at his best. And let's not forget, it was frustrating because everybody wanted Kyle Pitts to score fantasy points, but Jonnu Smith was good last year in Atlanta. So, don't sleep on Jonnu Smith. Colby Parkinson with the Rams should be the lead tight end, at least for most of the season, half the season. Ben Sinnott, I think both Washington tight ends, because with the Jahan Dotson trade, like right now they're left with Dyami Brown, Olamide Zaccheaus, and Luke McCaffrey. But this team could just go way more 12 personnel and have both tight ends on the field. We know the pace of play is going to be top five with Cliff Kingsbury there. And his offenses in the past have been pretty tight end friendly. So the Jahan Dotson trade actually has me, it didn't really move Terry McLaurin much for me. I was kind of already pretty high on him anyway and didn't think Jahan Dotson was taking many targets from him to start with, but it actually did impact the tight ends for me in Washington. That'll just about do it for me though. Some of my favorite sleeper candidates for the 2024 fantasy football season, and it comes at a perfect time. Drafts all week, all weekend, massive weekend for fantasy football drafts. So, what you need to do? Go to ftnfantasy.com, check out all the content, use that promo code FTN15 to get yourself 15% off at sign up, which gets you access to everything. Everything we talked about, you get as part of ftnfantasy.com. You'll be so prepared. Not just for your draft, but then on a weekly basis going into the season. Start sit questions will be so much easier for you. You'll have everything at your disposal. So check it out, ftnfantasy.com. Also check out all of the other podcasts a part of FTN Media. The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. The FTN Fantasy Football Dynasty Podcast with Jeremy Popolars. The FTN Fast Break. The Hoops Podcast with Zach and Mike Randall. So much content. So exciting. FTN Fantasy. Check it out. Speaking of Mike Randall, he will be joining the podcast either Wednesday or Thursday this week to talk some more fantasy, get you ready for those drafts that are coming up this weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed. Please give us a rating, review, all that great stuff over on Apple Podcasts. Helps us out. And we'll be back later this week with Mike Randall talking some more fantasy football here on the podcast. My name is Adam. Thanks for listening. Peace out.